So last week when we were together, I told you that God has blessed us and helped us with a new team member that's coming. I'm going to ask for them to throw the picture up of David and Liz, our new children's pastors. There they are. Come on, give them just a God bless you. They're coming. They need to sell a home in Montgomery, Alabama, and they need to make the transition steps, but they're on their way, and we just bless them. I want you to see them. I want you to be in prayer for Dave and for Liz and just for the church here. I also want to add my voice to the other voices. We appreciate the pastor's appreciation. We appreciate just the ability to serve with this church family, and so thank you for the beautiful service we had on Wednesday and even the remembrances that we received today. We also would like to just remind you that on your seats are these little cards, and I want you to take them with you. Don't leave them behind, please. And if you're going out for lunch, give them to the person that's serving you, and give them to the booth beside you or the table beside you, and you can blame me. Totally just say, my pastor told me I have to give these out. And blame me, because if you invite people, they will come. If they come, they'll hear about Jesus. And how many know Jesus changes everything? Everything. And how many know there are thousands of people in our community that need to know the message of God's love and need to hear about Jesus Christ and how he can revolutionize their lives? And that's why we're here. We are wrapping up a series of messages on the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that Jesus promises to us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that you will, not maybe, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that power will increase the influence of your life in Jerusalem, where you are, in Judea, that neighborhood, people around you, Samaria, those surprising people that you didn't even know you could ever influence, you're going to influence them, and literally to the uttermost parts of the world. And we looked at the doorways, they're behind me, the doorways, the keys to that power, the surrender of our lives, the compassion of our lives. And then for the last few weeks, we've been talking about desire and desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that God can give us those gifts and we can give them away. And we looked at the three primary lists of gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We looked at Romans chapter 12, and there are seven gifts in Romans chapter 12. We looked at the gift of prophecy and the gift of serving and the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement, the gift of leadership, the gift of giving, and the gift of mercy. We call those motivational gifts. They are the fire, the passion that moves us forward. Everyone here has one of those gifts as a primary gift in your life. And if you've missed that teaching, you can go back and look over those messages again. Then the next week we talked about the five gifts, ministry gifts, from Ephesians chapter 4, the gift of the prophet, the gift of the apostle, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the pastor, and the gift of the teacher. How ministry is done. And then last week we looked at nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at the power gifts, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith. We looked at the verbal gifts, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and word of prophecy. We looked at the wisdom or the revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And then last week I said, if you have any questions about spiritual gifts, about any one of these 21 gifts, send them in and we'll just take some time to biblically answer questions you may have. And of the 21 gifts we've talked about over the last weeks, of the 21 gifts, one gift got the most questions. Can you think of what that gift may be? You guys. So basically, if you don't like today's talk, it's not my fault. No, we're biblically answering questions. And so there's a couple of general questions. I took all the questions that came in and synthesized them into five questions. The first two are kind of general The first one is general, the second one is specific to Ephesians chapter 4, and then the remaining question is just about spiritual language, the mystery of spiritual language. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The first question is a very important question, and we all should think about it when it comes to spiritual gifts, and it's how do I discover of these 21 gifts, which ones are mine, how do I receive those gifts and discover them? And because they're spiritual gifts, they are spiritually discerned, and that happens through prayer. So I encourage everyone, and during the series, we've encouraged everyone to take time in your daily prayers to say, Lord, which of the seven gifts from Romans 12 is alive, and the gifts that come alongside those, the gift mix that you have? What are the gifts from Ephesians 4 that help me to minister? And how can I move in the nine gifts of Corinthians chapter 12? So prayer. The second thing I would just say about once you've prayed, you've got to get out of the boat. You can't just study the gifts of the Holy Spirit infinitely and read books about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got to get out of the boat and do something. Walk on the water. I encourage you to try out gifts and areas of ministry. That's the gifts come. The power of spiritual gifts is in giving. God gives you spiritual gifts, not so that you can take them home and put them in your closet, but so that you can give them. That's where the power is. God gives you a spiritual gift so that you can give it away, and that's where the power of God is released. You receive God's gift. You don't hold on to it. You give it away. So look for opportunities, ministries where you can use these gifts, and if it's teaching, try it out. And if you find teaching to be fulfilling to you, you feel a fullness in your heart, that would be one indication you're on the right track. If it's effective, if it helps others, that would be another indication that you're on the right track. For if you feel like you have the gift of teaching and nobody comes to listen, may not be your gift. Well, isn't your gift. So it has to have effectiveness, fulfillment and effectiveness. And then I just encourage you to listen to wise spiritual leaders who may see things in you that you don't see in yourself. Many people discover their spiritual gifts when a leader comes along and says, you know, I see this in you. And you go, well, I don't see it. No, let's try this. And many people have discovered their spiritual gift by being counseled and coached to get out of the boat and step on the water. Now, we have a course that we offer in the church called Growth Track. It starts again next weekend. And in that class, there is a spiritual gifts test. And we encourage you to take that class if you've never done it and take the spiritual gifts test. We also encourage those that are here and have a good idea of what your spiritual gifts are to not put them in your closet. We have a tendency to drift from best practices that we are moving in our gifts, and we're exercising our gifts, and we're giving our gifts away, and then we take a little break. There is no concept in the Bible for retirement from spiritual gifts. I'm just going to take a break. That's actually a danger place because that cuts off the flow of God's power. God gives you the gift constantly. I promise you this next week, there's going to be places for you to receive spiritual gifts and places for you to give them away. And the more you do that, the more you will develop and grow in your spiritual gifts. So try things out. If they're personally fulfilling, personally effective, and wise counsel from others, and you will discover your spiritual gifts. The second question relates to the five gifts that are listed in Ephesians 4. And it says, how do I connect with the ministry gifts of Ephesians 4? And they are, there it is, 4:11, said he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and some to be teachers. Because you go, well, but Scott, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a pastor. How do I connect? Do these have anything to do with me? Now, Ephesians 4, if you remember the passage, is like an hourglass passage. It's shaped like an hourglass. It says, everyone has been given grace, broad top. Some of these gifts, these named offices, have been given that all may minister in their ministry. So, grace to all, some leaders, some specific leaders, that all may minister. So, these are the five primary ways that ministry takes place. For example, the apostolic gift, that we wouldn't call you an apostle, but you would see things if you identify with that gift, if that is the way you do ministry. Let me back up and say, Romans chapter 12, those seven gifts are the motivation, the why you feel to do ministry. Ephesians 4 are the way you do ministry, or the how you do ministry. So, apostolic leadership sees things from a high perspective. It sees how the integrated parts work together. They see the big picture. The prophetic gift wants to make sure the right people are on the right bus, in the right seat, doing the right thing. It's all about being right. Right? Are you in the right church, in the right seat, doing the right thing right now? That's what prophets see. They see rightness. It's all about divine right thought and divine right actions. Evangelists, you may know, evangelists have a great heart to see people who are far away from God, outside the family of God, come in to the family of God. And that's how they do ministry. They approach the same church, the same place, but their how, the way they do ministry, will be bringing people into the family of God. Now, it's important that every church has a balance of these five things, because you can get overemphasized on one. We're just an evangelistic church. We're just bringing people in. We're just bringing them in. We're bringing them in. We're bringing them in. And we'll be a mile wide and an inch deep. And that's dangerous, because you also have to disciple them. They have to grow in their faith. So that's why you need all five. You need to have pastors. Not that you are a pastor, but if the way you minister is to see people's hurts and to help them, to see practical needs, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and you're like a shepherd. Shepherds want to lead and feed. They want to make sure all the sheep are healthy and whole and well-fed. They want to care for people. When people are in the hospital, they want to go up there and make sure everything's okay. Is the IV in? Here, let me help you. Put it in. And teachers, of course, teachers want people to learn, to grow, to develop, to disciple. Let me apply an event that's going to take place in the church this week and see if it helps to make some sense, greater sense to you. On Wednesday, we have a community outreach from the church that we've been working on called, does anybody know? Light the Night. There'll be thousands of people here. Now, the way that ministry goes on that night will be varied. Apostolic leadership, apostolic people will see a high level. They'll see how all the pieces are working, that not just this one individual thing is working, but the whole thing is working together, good flow of people, not only high with things that are on this property, just how it connects with the community. They'll have a great awareness of the big picture of things. Apostolic ministry does new things in new ways and makes sure they work. That's what that leadership's gift does. The prophetic way of ministering is to make sure the right people are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And if you like a volunteer, you got to be in the right place at the right time and doing the right thing. Right. They even will walk by people. There will be people they pass by on Wednesday and they will sense something's wrong with that person. And they'll want them to be right. There's something wrong in that soul. And they'll want them to be right. And their ministry will be, I want to get you right. The evangelists, or those who minister with an evangelistic heart, will come and will sense and know There are people here on the grounds, and they are far away from God, and I'm looking for a way to help them get closer to God. They may sit at a table with somebody they don't know. They may start a conversation, because their ministry is to help those people that are far away from God come into the family of God. That's what they want to do. That's the way they'll approach that night. They'll see that. Those with the pastoral motivation will be looking to make sure everybody is happy. If we're running low on hot dogs, I'll go get some. If a little child is lost, they'll be one of the first ones to click. Oh, that little child, who's with you? Who is watching this little child? Because they want to make sure everyone's like happy, everyone's okay. That's the pastor to make sure everyone's led and fed and well. The teacher, well, there'll be lessons to learn, and there'll be lessons. You got to learn how to bounce in this bounce house. You got to learn how to bounce right. Okay, four of you in there at one time, not five. Four at one time in there and bounce. Okay, everybody bounce. Okay, learn how to get onto the hay wagon in a proper way. And while we're out, maybe we could learn some educational things about the swamp that we go around. It won't. So Romans 12 is the why, the motivation, motivational gifts. Ephesians 4 is the way or the how that ministry. Not that you carry those titles, but that's how you do ministry. And we need a balance of the five. Now, the next three questions are about spiritual gifts and about how they relate to our lives. So this question is very important. Number three, and this was asked by several people several ways, and I've just synthesized those questions into this one. When I pray, I hear spiritual language inside, but I just can't speak it out. Why? And I had a number of people, something goes on when I pray. I hear things inside, but I don't speak it out. Now, let me read a partial explanation from Paul's words. I say partial because you'll understand that spiritual gifts are a mystery. What does that mean? It's mysterious. It means I can't even totally explain it to you because it's a mystery. And that's Paul himself says that. He says, okay, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Okay, when you pray in spiritual language, you're talking to God. When you prophesy, you speak to the church. Nobody understands it, including yourself, unless there's interpretation. You don't understand it. Watch what it says. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. It is mysterious. When we talked about this, remember, we talked about the normal course of events. I hope it's happening right now. Your mind is listening. Your mind is listening, I hope. And it's speaking to your spirit. That's what's happening. You're listening, and your spirit and your mind are both engaged. But in the mystery of spiritual language, the roles are reversed. The spirit speaks to the mind, and it's mysterious. The mind goes, that's mysterious. I don't get that. What those words do not make sense to me. I have no vocabulary for those words. It's mysterious, and the mind pushes back. I had a lady in the atrium ask me a question last weekend, this very type of question. She was standing there with her husband. She said, Scott, I pray, I hear it inside, I can't get it out. Why? And I received a word of knowledge for her while she was talking to me, and I said, you're hard-headed. And her husband, yeah, Pastor, you're right on with that word, man. That is a word, Pastor. So I said, here's what often happens. Listen, you are amongst us, and we love you. And I said, this often, hard-headed people often have spiritual experiences while they sleep. And her eyes lit up because she said, that's happened to me. I said, yeah. Because what happens is the mind and the body relax so much that the spirit finally goes, finally. For example, and I told her a story. I said we were praying with a German lady, and sometimes Germans are hard-headed. No amens, but hard-headed. I mean, like you got to be in control. Got to make sense. And so we prayed with her. And off, if this is you, it's not likely, you could, but it's not likely that you're going to pray in spiritual language in a highly energized service. You know, some services have a lot of energy and they're high, and probably you're going to be at home, probably. And so we prayed with this lady, and she went home. There was no spiritual language, and that was fine, no problem. She was surrendered to the Lord. And that night, while she was sleeping, she woke herself up praying in spiritual language, because her body and her mind finally relaxed enough. Some of you may know the name of a very well-known pastor right now named Robert Morris. Robert Morris pastors a church in Dallas called Gateway. I like to read his material because he comes out of a background of churches that were not really open to the Holy Spirit, and he's had a journey towards understanding and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he was slow to come to spiritual language. His story is that his wife began to pray in spiritual language much earlier than he did. But one morning, they woke up, and she was grinning at him. And he said, "What?" She said, "Nothing." But she couldn't get the grin off her face like a Cheshire cat. He said, "What?" "No, that's just between you and God." "No, tell me." And she said, "Well, last night while you were sleeping, you were praying in spiritual language." And he admitted, this is his story, he said, "That's because," in his words, "that's because I'm hard-headed." And he tells this story about haltingly, consciously praying in spiritual language, but then the moment that the dam broke and it became just a flow, and it actually influenced his preaching ministry because there was a greater release in his life. So if this is you, could I just encourage you to relax a little bit and not a lot of tension, because that's going to be better for you, and maybe in a quiet place. But you're going to have to step over that mystery into a new spiritual dimension. Now, for those of you that are like that, this next question is maybe one that you've heard, or that even that you've used, because doesn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30, doesn't Paul say not everyone speaks in tongues? Doesn't he say that? Doesn't he? Well, let's read that passage together. Doesn't 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30 say that not everyone speaks in tongues? So we'll read the passage, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter. We won't do that right now, but here's the passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. "Now, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." So get the picture. He's talking about you are an individual, right? Yes or yes? And you are part of a body. You're part of a community. In fact, if you read the verses right above this, he's talking about how the members work together, how the eyeball needs the hand, needs the foot, and how each member, when we are together, functions so that the body is strengthened. And then he goes on. He's teaching, because the Corinthians, you have to read, just know the church, they were a little bit of a free-for-all. And there was a lot going on, and he's trying to, like, bring them to a church that is betterly run. So he asks this question, okay? God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. So he's just saying, hey, here's gifts that God gives to the church. Now, are all apostles? So pause for a moment. At least when we're all together, right now at this moment, we're not all being apostles. That gift is not functioning in the room. Or prophets, we're all not prophesying right now because we're all together. There's not a lot of voices going on. That was happening in the Corinthian church. Not everyone is teaching right now. If we all stood up with our own little whiteboards and said, "Let me teach you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit," if we all stood up simultaneously, it'd be pandemonium. So that's not going on. It becomes a little more even evident when he asks this question. Do all work miracles? And last week we talked about miracles, and we talked about the fact that every single person in this room at some time will need a miracle. Right? Right? And when you need a miracle as a child of God, you can pray for one. Right? You are empowered to do that. And if God gives you that, that's a gift of miracles. Now, at this point, as we're all together in the body of Christ, that's not happening at this moment. It would be pandemonium if everyone said, okay, it's miracle time. Well, but I'm teaching. No, it's miracle time. And we're all going to like, no, we will have a time when we bring our prayer ministers to the front and miracles can take place, because we will be taking time and there'll be a few people that are going to be praying for that to happen. Not everyone. This is when you're all together. And in that context, does everyone heal? Well, I again promise you there's going to be a moment in your life that you need healing. Or you're going to know somebody that needs healing. And as a child of God, can you pray for healing? Yes or yes? Yes. And if God gives it, that's a gift of healing. Now, is that happening right now? No. There's an order. There's a structure that we're all working together. And it's in that context that he asked the question, do all speak in tongues and do all interpret? Well, if everyone was up speaking in tongues at this moment, it would be pandemonium. In fact, Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians, if people from the outside come in when that's going on, they will say you are out of your mind. It's not healthy. That's what he says. Now, we do know in Acts chapter 2 that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they, get this, all spoke in other tongues. In Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first non-Jewish people, the first Gentile people, that Italian group, they all spoke in other tongues. In Ephesians chapter 19, when the church at Ephesus was together and the Holy Spirit was poured out, they all spoke in spiritual language. In fact, Paul prays for the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 5, here's his desire, his prayer. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. And so I, as your pastor, in the same vein, and this is not me or some, this is the Bible. This is Paul. I would like all of you, so I'm the same way. I would like all, not everybody does, but I would like all of you too. I'd like all of you to prophesy, because that's healthy in your spiritual life. But it brings us to the question for those brothers and sisters who are here that have not experienced that. And it's a legitimate question. It was asked by several people different ways, but here was the question. If I don't speak in tongues, am I less of a Christian then? That's a very good question to ask. And we as a fellowship have to approach this in a spirit of love. Watch this. We've been teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and from 1 Corinthians 14, which is gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know what chapter is between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14? Smart group. This is the smart group. I knew you would get that right away. Does anybody know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about? Exact. Now get this. If you have any gifts of the Holy Spirit that ever flow through you and it inspires pride, there's something wrong. In fact, doesn't 1 Corinthians 13 start like this? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and don't have love, it's worth zippity-doo-dah. That's the Greek. He says, I can have all the gifts of knowledge. But if I don't have love, it's nothing. If I have all the gifts of wisdom, if I have a word of wisdom for every single circumstance and they flow in great power and I don't have love, it's nothing. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to bring us to the love of the Holy Spirit. So there's no person in this room that's praising spiritual language that should look down on any other person here, because that's not a loving thing to do. If it's a real, genuine work of the Holy Spirit, you'll love one another more. Which is one of the reasons I'd like the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow more, because you'll love each other more if they're done properly. So he says that. I pray that you'll all pray in tongues, But if you do that and you don't love, then that would be a wrong thing to do. Now, I will say, so if you ever ask yourself the question, if I don't pray in spiritual language, am I less a Christian? The answer is absolutely no. But you're not as strong as you could be. Because Paul says that if you pray in spiritual language, you build yourself up. If you pray in spiritual language, you edify yourself. If you pray in spiritual language, if you pray in speak in tongues, he says in 14 and 4, you build yourself up. If you prophesy to the church, you build up the whole church. But as an individual, you yourself are strengthened through this spiritual exercise, which is why he prays that all of us would do that. Because he would like his church to be strong, and I would like you to be strong. I'd like you to be strengthened. In fact, Robert Morris, who we talked about, before he was a pastor, he traveled as an evangelist, primarily in Baptist churches that were not real open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but he traveled into the Baptist church that had had the most baptisms, which more than any other Baptist church, they had had more baptisms that year than any other Baptist church. So they were winning people to Christ at a very high rate. While he was there preaching as an evangelist to the church, he heard that the senior pastor prayed in tongues, which was surprising to him. He was still trying to discover all these things. This was a Baptist church that wasn't real open. And so he went to the pastor and said, they tell me that you pray in tongues. And the pastor said, of course I do. He said, why do you do that? He says, because the Bible says that if I pray in other tongues, I edify myself, and I need all the edification I can get. I know of a very prominent minister that battles depression and overcomes depression on an ongoing basis by praying in spiritual language. That's what when he feels that come in, he edifies himself in a mysterious way, absolutely, in a mysterious way, but it's how he is effective in ministry because he builds himself up. And I, as your friend and as your pastor, would like you to be edified and be built up. So I want to just take down barriers and walls of, well, I was taught, I heard that, my church taught me that, and just simply search the scriptures and form our belief systems around what the scripture says and understand that God is calling us to a place of incredible power. And as we live in that incredible place of power, we receive gifts of the Holy Spirit and we give those gifts to others. And as we receive gifts of the Holy Spirit and give them to the others, then the kingdom of God is released in our community at an ever-increasing measure, and our community needs the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God to flow through us in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Let's stand together. Can we do that? I'm going to invite our prayer team to come and just prepare to minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as they come, would everyone please close your eyes, but also open your hearts. And our prayer is that every single person here would be in the family of God, that Jesus would be the very center of your life. And this whole kingdom of power is available to you if you will surrender your life to Christ. That's the first step that we talked about, surrender, giving your life. And I'd like to invite you to give your life to Christ for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. Maybe there's been some hesitancy. Well, this is a moment for us to believe in Jesus and to confess Jesus and to let Jesus do a miracle in our souls. So I'm going to lead in a prayer that receives Christ, a prayer that surrenders to Christ, and I'd like everyone, 100% of us, to pray this prayer together and let Jesus do his work in our lives. So would you pray with all of the people around you as we lead in this community prayer of faith and salvation? And if you pray these words from your heart, a miracle will happen in your soul. A new life will begin in your soul. So here's our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. because I need you. And I open my heart to Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins and I leave them behind. And I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and as my Lord. Create in me a new heart. Begin in me a new life. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. To the glory of God we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's a good prayer. It surely is a good prayer. Now, if you're making, watch, look this way. If you're making a commitment or a recommitment to Christ, we want to begin to help you. And we will send you an ebook if you'd like. If you'll text us and just say, I'm saying yes to God, just text yes to 941-260-1321. And we'll send an ebook to you. Or I'd also love if you tell one of our prayer ministers, I'm making a commitment to Christ today before I go. Our prayer ministers are also here to pray for whatever spiritual need you may be facing, whatever gift you need from the Holy Spirit. We're here to pray that that gift is in your life. Healing, miracles, strength, wisdom, knowledge. We're here to pray with you. While people are being prayed for here at the front, if you'd like to receive communion, you're welcome to do that. You're a friend of Jesus. There's a communion station at the left-hand side and the right-hand side. All we ask is that you come and remember Jesus. When you take the bread and take from the cup, remember Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer or communion. We just want you to think about Jesus. When you take the bread and the cup, say in your heart, Jesus died for me on the cross. He absorbed all of my sins, thank God. He took away all my shame, thank God. He died and he went into the tomb and he rose again and he is here with me right now. His presence is always with me. And you celebrate the present presence of God. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for being with us. We bless you. We'd like to grow together. If you've never stopped by the VIP room, which is back on the left-hand side, we invite you to do that. We'd like to meet you, get to know you. If this is the first time you've been with us, and we've been talking for weeks about spiritual gifts, laying a foundation, and this message kind of like, whoa, this is all kind of new. I'm going to be out in the lobby. If you have any questions, you want to continue the conversation, I'll be out there just to talk with you if you'd like. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing. And after this prayer, there's no other benediction. You're welcome to come for prayer, for communion, worship with the worship team. Go with the grace of God. Go with the blessing of God. But I pray that we'd be also open to His Spirit, to His presence, and to His power. Because it's not about our power that gets us through. It's about His power that gets us through. So I pray in Jesus' name that the Lord will bless you, that the Lord will keep you, that the Lord will cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the power of the kingdom of God. I pray that darkness would tremble when you walk into a room because you are there, not in your authority, but in His authority. I pray that your home would be blessed. I pray that where you work would be blessed. I pray that where you go to school would be blessed because you are a child of the Most High God. And the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk. It is a matter of power, and that power is with you. I pray for our prayer team. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow in through and around them. I thank you for the communion. May the bread and the cup of the Lord testify to the love of God and the grace of God. And may we receive that grace freely. And may we give that grace away, we pray. In Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. Amen. God bless you.